to the Parent Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor the Parent Show. The friendly team at Neave's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit neavesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
Welcome to the Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. I'm Lydia L. Curry.
And I'm Cathy Weston.
Thank you for joining us this evening. The show tonight is all about giftedness in children. How can we spot a particular gift or talent in our kids? And importantly, how can we nurture it? What problems can arise if a child has abilities beyond their years? And how do schools provide for high ability children?
For a discussion tonight, as always on the Parents Show, we're bringing you the very best of expertise. First, we're talking to Professor Valsa Koshy, an eminent researcher in this field and founder of the Brunel's Able Children's Education Centre in London. After that, we'll be talking to Peter Hamilton, head teacher of HABS, Haberdasher Asks School for Boys, widely considered, of course, to be one of the best schools in the country. Alistair Clark follows that, the gifted and talented coordinator at our own top local state school, St George's in Harpenden. And that's all coming up within the next hour.
So do stay with us and join the discussion by phone on 01727 839 926 or on Twitter, Facebook. We're there and we'll be tweeting and Facebooking throughout the show and would love to get some feedback from you or questions for any of our guests. Right, first up, as promised, we're going to speak to Professor Koshy. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm looking forward to being on the show.
That's great. That's great, Professor. Thank you. So as parents, we're all familiar with the phrase gifted and talented. And some parents out there may have received letters from their child's school informing them that they are gifted in a particular area. Can you shed a light on where this particular term came from and what it actually means to receive one of these letters?
Right. I think very quickly, a letter like that would have only come to a house from a state school only in the last 10 years, because for the first time in the history of England, the Labour government brought a gifted and talented policy which required schools to nominate or have a list of gifted and talented children in their school. And some schools decided to send a letter home, and many schools didn't send a letter home. And if you're a parent who got a letter that your child is gifted, it could mean one of two things. One is that he or she has shown outstanding ability in a particular area or two, or it may be that he's a very fast learner and they have seen signs of expertise and a high quality work. So it could be either.
Valsa, I have to say, as a parent, I mean, if your child doesn't receive that letter,
we have done some research, and we have done extensive research, but the latest in the last 3 years with 3,500 schools, the problem has been exactly that. If I'm a parent and my child doesn't get a letter that my child is gifted, and that is very difficult to bear. So more than 60% of the schools didn't send a letter home. And all the teachers who were quite happy with sending a letter home all contributed to me changing my thinking. Teachers were very happy to send a letter home to parents to say your child is gifted in something. And there was no problem because all the children have got some abilities that we can alert parents to. So there was no problem. So my concept and my advice to parents is don't think your child is gifted. Ask, what is my child gifted in? If you don't mind, Kathy, I will just say something to back it up. Have you ever heard of a Nobel Prize winner being gifted globally in every area? You don't. They are gifted or have outstanding expertise in one or two domains in science or maths. It's unlikely they'll be maths, science and sport and music, if that makes sense.
And also, I mean, the definition of giftedness is, there isn't really a clear definition at all. Is that correct?
One of the problems is there is no universally accepted, agreed definition. So if you don't have a definition, then labeling a child gifted is very difficult because it means different things to different people.
And also, Valsa, I'm sure it's you're familiar in the world of education, but intelligence comes in so many different forms. And I think the word gifted often conjures up, you know, a young chess genius who ends up sort of going to Oxbridge at 15. But really, how can we sort of convey to parents how intelligence is very much multifaceted and very varied when we're trying to spot talent in our own children?
Well, your parents may be familiar with Howard Gardner from Harvard University, who changed the whole literature and concept of intelligence, that he put forward a theory in his book, Frames of Mind, and I hope all your readers will look it up, where he said there are seven, he listed seven, which are more for education, seven types of intelligences, mathematics, science, music, sport, and so on. So there is no special, one child cannot be good at all seven, whereas you could be good at music and maths, maybe English and something else, or art. So it is multifaceted. So look and find out what your child is very good at. And one of the other things I hope the parents will be very pleased to know is that intelligence, Howard Gardner includes interpersonal intelligence as one of the intelligences, the leadership skills, and the child who is going to go to a bullied child and sits with him or her, that kind of intelligence is equally
valued.
More important.
Yeah, yeah. That's fantastic to put it in those terms.
And Valsa, can I ask you, how can parents spot signs of high intelligence? Because, I mean, obviously, It comes in different forms, as you say, and how do you identify it as a parent? Because you've said not everybody has every kind of intelligence, but I'd imagine everybody has some kind of intelligence. And
there are some common characteristics. From about 1,000 children, I might have sort of roughly 1,000 children we have studied. There are some common features you will see, and they are fast. They will be fast learners. They pick up knowledge very, very quickly, and they are passionate. They have interest in a particular domain or two, memory, making connections. And if someone asks me what would you really look for is intellectual curiosity, asking so many questions. So these are general things you can look for, but then you have to look at the specifics. If you're mathematically gifted or talented, you would see problem-solving skills and reasoning, fast with numbers. Or in English, you might have that creative genius, using phrases, imagination. So first look for, if your child is picking up things quickly, unfortunately, sometimes they come home and say, I have learned nothing in school, I am bored.
Right.
Well, take that as a sign. But all my work with teachers, what I have seen, teachers are fascinated and they are very willing to work with the parents. And one thing, Kathy, that I would want to say is the strongest way of working is to create that triad, like a triangle, a teacher, parent, and the child. Communicate with each other, because parents do want to tell the teacher. Parents, don't be afraid, because teachers really want to know, and teachers will listen, and you can work together.
And I think that's a very interesting point, that actually it's okay to go into the teacher and say, I think my child's got a brilliant memory, I just wanted to pass that on, you know, because we as parents are the most attuned to our children and the most knowledgeable about them.
Parents know their children more than anyone else, but at the same time, I would advise a parent not to go into a school and say, what are you going to do about my child? He is gifted. That's not what the teachers want to hear. They would like to know, what is that special gift? What can we do? What have you seen at home? so that we can develop it at home. It's unlikely. I have had teachers tell me, some parents say, we have had our child tested for IQ. He has got a very high IQ. What are you going to do with him? That's not the attitude, and it's best to tell the teacher, I have noticed these signs. Do you think you see it too? If you know what
Very
I mean.
Very nice. Yeah,
that's really helpful, because the next thing I was going to say to you is, you know, as a parent, you don't want to be going in to your teacher. I mean, it's so stigmatized to kind of, I think I've got a really clever kid. Any chance you could kind of, you know, fast track them? Or obviously, nobody wants to be doing that. So giving us those kind of specifics are really helpful. But what I'd really like to know is, how do teachers assess giftedness or talent or whatever label is the most helpful label to give children who are have a higher ability?
In our sample of this nationwide survey, unfortunately, most teachers looked only for test results. If they were obtaining higher grades than what is average, then they would start looking at that child. But exceptional ability was also noticed by teachers because of completing work very quickly, and sometimes, sadly, because of poor behavior, bad behavior, which nearly always came from boredom. For example, a child was referred to me who was going to be expelled the following week, and the mother said, would you just talk to him? And I did. I don't always have time to talk to parents when they make a phone call, but this one I really wanted to know, and I said to him, so why don't you listen to the teachers and why are you sitting on the floor? And he said, well, I'm just not interested in any of that. What are you interested in? And he said, I'm interested in birds. Anyway, to summarize, I told him to, so what would you like to do? I would like to write a book. He wrote a book on birds, 5 parts, on migration, on how to spot a bird, all for younger children. And the quality was outstanding. All the other areas of his work improved, and he wasn't expelled.
Fantastic. It's a lovely story, Valsa. It touches a little bit on some of the downsides of being a particularly able child. Now, I've sort of read a little bit about some of the problems children who are very bright may have, such as bullying. They might feel ostracised in the playground. They're teased, perhaps. They have difficulty making friends. Sometimes if they've got lots of specific interests that their friends don't share. What's your view on that?
There can be problems because although children celebrate music talent and sports talent, academic talent is not celebrated as much by other children. So there could be jealousy.
Yes.
But yeah. Also, some younger children, again, this is another anecdote. A 5-year-old we have worked with was talking in the playground, talking about global warming. Other children are talking about Postman Pat and all the children's programs. And this child is talking about global warming. What are we going to do? And why is it alphabets come to an end and the numbers don't? Now, you can imagine what kind of reaction the other children would, which it's not their fault.
Yeah.
So sometimes bullying and being laughed at, it's not deliberate. It's just that they have got adult interests which probably doesn't fit in. And that can be a problem, bullying as well, and jealousy. But you can get around that by addressing it in the classroom, that encourage teamwork and make sure that all talents and gifts are celebrated equally.
That's great, Valsa. Thank you very much. What do you think overall about this, the labels of gifted and talented? Do you think the ones that we should continue with, or do you think it's on its way out?
I have stopped using any of those words exclusively. One of the experts in America who has been working in gifted education for about 3 decades, he has written a book which says, let's move away from gifted children to gifted education. Let's give every child an education which aims at the highest level of expertise, which is what is gifted education. So I would say, let's look at what a child is gifted at and not say he is gifted. My child is gifted at, so-and-so is gifted at. Teachers were very happy to do that. And if, as a parent, I would love to get a letter to say, your daughter is very gifted in mathematics or showing outstanding promise in music. So I prefer to use being gifted at in something rather than she is gifted, if that makes sense.
Brilliant.
It does indeed. Professor Koshy, thank you very much for joining us this evening on The Parents Show.
Thank you very
much. Thank you so much. Now, we're talking tonight on The Parent Show about how to nurture talent and special gifts that our children may be displaying. And we've spoken to Professor Valsa Koshy a moment ago, and now we're moving on to Peter Hamilton, who you may know is the head teacher of one of the most famous schools in the country, really, Haberdasher Ask School for Boys. The school's motto is nurturing excellence. So we thought it would be a very good idea to get Peter on the phone tonight to talk to him about how Habs does it. Good evening, Peter.
Good evening, Cathy. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for joining us.
It's a real pleasure.
So we're all dying to know, because we've read so much about Habs. We know the track record. We've heard of the famous alumni. And how does Habs spot talent?
That is a fantastic question. And it's part of actually quite a complicated process. We're always on the lookout for pupils, boys in our case, although there is a girls' school next door. We often think of ourselves as standing side by side for excellence there. But we're on the lookout for boys who look at the world in a slightly different way, who are genuinely inquisitive, looking for unusual connections, thinking outside the box, I suppose. And part of that process starts with our selection procedure. But more importantly, once the boys come to us, it's about getting to know them, their various gifts and talents, monitoring them, spotting them, encouraging, and I suppose really having a whole host of activities, be they in the classroom or outside, which they can only engage with. And if they're the right type of boy for us, if they're bright and inquisitive, they will engage and they will go on to do great things, as you know.
Could you give us a specific example of some of the things you might do, Peter?
Yeah, it's about the way in which boys relate to staff. It's the way in which they relate to each other. We will be extremely interested in boys who've got slightly unusual profiles. For example, they've been mathematically very strong and perhaps their English is not quite up to it, or indeed vice versa. Extremely interested in boys who've got unusual hobbies, some might even say obsessions, because we think that we can bring the best out of them. We're also looking for boys who show premature talent, if that's the right word, either in music or drama or art or sport. And there's a place for every one of those at Habs.
And Peter, is it often the case, we've heard from Valsa that giftedness is very, very rarely across the board, it's always in one or two areas perhaps. Is it your experience that boys often will have one talent that you nurture, or is it? Have you encountered children who have multi sort of faceted intelligence like that?
I think it's worth saying. I mean, we are an unusual school. I mean, by any normal measure, every single one of our pupils, we have 1,440 of them. They go from aged 5 right the way through to 18. Every single one of them would probably be classed as gifted and talented. So we don't make any particular distinction. They're in an environment where this is totally normal. It's absolutely holistic. We like it. We enjoy it. We encourage it. And of course, once you've got that many boys together who know that taking a loving interest in mathematics is quite normal, you create a very interesting interesting dynamic. I would probably say to you that the boys that we've got are talented, and I mean really talented, across a range of subject areas. I mean, clearly, later on as they grow, they specialise and they perhaps warm to one. But at the outset, what really sets them apart from everybody else is their absolute total inquisitiveness, willingness to engage with, I suppose in a funny way, the exploration of the world, be it an academic world, the world of science or of languages or of words, their desire to engage and to want to know more and to want to know more in unusual ways and look for unusual links. That therefore means, of course, the role the staff play is absolutely crucial.
So it's two things, and Valsa also reiterated your point that it's about intellectual curiosity if they're displaying that, but also the school has to provide the culture to support it.
Absolutely, and you know, this is, I mean, there have been many prehistoric things, I suppose, said about gifting and talent, and you know, the world has moved on. This is about things being really perceived as normal. This is the way that we are, having a culture whereby those achievements are celebrated, putting in front of boys and girls, boys in our case, opportunities for them to excel, perhaps in areas they're not even aware of at the moment. So if I give you a specific example, you know, we would major heavily on, if I call it, sort of extracurricular academic things. So things like the various Olympiads in science, those external national competitions, because it's so important to go beyond the straitjackets of a specification or a syllabus. And if you do that, you'll find with these types of boys that the results will come later. We're never particularly worried about the results. If they're engaged and excited and they're being taught by people who are at the top of their game, and value being in the classroom with really bright, unusual thinking children, you really have you're onto a winner, really, for all.
And Peter, what role do you see for parents? Do you feel it's the role of the parents to identify this and let you know, or do you think it's up to teachers to spot it, to spot the talent?
Yes, I think it's both, actually. I mean, clearly, parental involvement is key. They need to support. They need to take an interesting, perhaps not an overbearing, interest in their child's progress. They certainly need to know when to let the child, as it were, loose or free. And if the child has a gift in English and they would rather see them become a doctor, well, you know, there's a discussion to be had there. It's about recognising the talent that is in the heart of their family and allowing that to develop. Sometimes we'll have people coming to us saying, our son is particularly gifted in, and that is true. Other times it will be something that's discovered along the journey, and it is a journey. And often you will find that the paths that some of these boys go down and excel in are perhaps been opened to them by their work and their play with the other lads with whom they're taught.
Peter, you've mentioned school culture earlier. I mean, why is it, do you think, is culture one of the main reasons why independent schools seem to produce a greater proportion of very successful individuals? Because we read in all the time in the BBC news reports and things that you're producing the most Olympians, and you know, the talent seems to be contained very much in private education. That's what the media would have us believe. What is it about independent schools that does that?
I think, I mean, there are a number of things. You know, I mean, clearly, I mean, in my particular school, we set out to challenge bright boys. For us, there is whole staff involvement. There are teaching staff who are particularly gifted. Their subject knowledge is outstanding. People will be taught by specialists. It's about valuing a variety of teaching strategy, of opportunity. It's particularly about high expectation and having the role models to fulfil that. It's about so many things. It's about pace, progression, achievement, and I suppose fundamentally it's about, it is about a sense of community. It's about people being supportive, valuing, be it intelligence, pure intellect, as it were, valuing, you know, that outstanding performance on the stage. And it's about going beyond what is necessary to deliver in order to pass, for example, the GCSE. This is about support. It's fundamentally about human relationships.
And Peter, just one last question before we let you go. As a parent, I mean, I'm sure everybody would be delighted to get their child identified as gifted or talented, but there'd also be a worry that suddenly you're throwing your child in a trajectory that leads them to a very academic, very kind of fast track world and they lose a chance to play or develop themselves more holistically. Is that true in any way?
I think that's a fear that really should be allayed. There is nothing more soul destroying than seeing a really bright child who is bored. You can just see people switch off. This is about recognizing that an individual has got a particular ability or gift and putting them in an environment where that gift can be
flourishes. And I think that it's interesting because Valsa as well, earlier Professor Koshy, she mentioned boredom as a key, is one of the signs that the school is not really challenging and supporting your talented child. So
I think that's so true. And of course the other thing is actually, you know, we need to move beyond the confines of, you know, any sort of curriculum that's been predefined for us, because what is so important with children of this sort is that they find the space and the encouragement to learn independently, to explore, and not to have to be brought back to whatever it may well be because it happens to be on the syllabus. So it's about creativity.
Great. Peter, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Peter Hamilton, that's the head teacher at Haberdasher Asks Boys.
Radio Verma. Thanks for joining us again. We're talking about gifted and talented children tonight. I have to say, Lydia, if parents are listening tonight and they're thinking, oh my goodness, you know, I know that my child has a special talent or gift, I don't know how to nurture it. Actually, there is this show, but obviously we're giving you information tonight. There are so many resources out there, some of which we'll be flagging up on our Facebook tonight. Lots of wonderful resources, books, websites you can access, even holiday clubs and courses that you can send your child to depending on their particular interest. So don't worry, there's also lots of resources to accompany the show tonight. And we've spoken to Peter Hamilton, who's obviously the head of an independent school, earlier. But we wanted to explore and speak to someone who was in one of our fantastic state schools. And we all know there are lots of them in Hertfordshire, but St George's in Harpenden does stand out. We all know it's renowned for its teaching and its great results. So I went along today, earlier this afternoon, to speak to the gifted and talented coordinator at St George's about how they manage to provide so well for talented pupils in their school. Well, I'm actually in St George's School in Harpenden this afternoon, and I'm joined by Alistair Clark, who's a gifted and talented coordinator at the school. Hello, Alistair.
Hello there.
Thank you for joining us on the Parent Show this evening.
You're welcome.
Now, you're the gifted and talented coordinator. It's a very snazzy title. What does it actually mean? What does your job entail?
Okay, the gifted and talented coordinator ensures that stretch and challenge is embedded in the curriculum. So it's just reminding the staff that we have able students, and it's important to ensure that provision is put in place in order to meet their needs.
And when you say gifted and talented, I mean, we've discussed that a lot on the show this evening, but how does St George's interpret that? How do you identify if a child is more able than others?
We've worked hard on this over the last 10 years or so. We try not to get bogged down with the title gifted and talented. We don't think that's the important thing, the label gifted and talented. Yes, it's important to identify the most able students in our community, but what is most important is that we have adequate provision made for them. So yes, we have a gifted and talented register, and staff are encouraged to ensure that adequate provision is made for students on that list. The list is there to ensure that the teachers put in adequate provision for them, but in doing so, if other students benefit from that provision, the saying cast the net wide is a very important one. Other students benefit from that provision, and in that way we can raise achievement across the board.
And obviously St George's is a state school, unlike Habs. We were speaking to Peter Hamilton earlier. And what is it that makes, we know St George's is a very special school, everyone in Hertfordshire has heard of it. What makes it so special, and why does it do so well?
gosh, I could speak on that topic for some time. It is a special school. We are in a very fortunate area. We have very supportive parents, for which we are extremely grateful. We have a very strong house system. The school is divided into four houses. And that nurtures a really nice community feel where we will support one another. That ethos feeds right down into our everyday teaching and learning. And the culture of success is one which is very much celebrated on a day-to-day basis. For example, in assemblies, we will very much celebrate people's achievements.
And would you say, so obviously the school culture is vital,
yes,
in nurturing talent. And you've got a wide experience of working in different school contexts. So what would you say to a parent listening who's thinking about different school options for their particular child? How do they know that when they walk into a school on an open day that it's going to be like St. George's?
You're absolutely right. It's very important to try and get the school right. I think most people will know when they visit a school. They just get that feeling if it's the right school for their child. My advice always is, yes, go to the open evening, but more importantly, go and see the school during a typical working day. That's absolutely essential. See the students and the teachers working, interacting with each other. And by doing that, I think they really will get a feel for what the school is like and if it's right for their child. Not every school is right for every child. It's got to be a good match.
And I think it's about parental attunement to what your child is interested in, is passionate about, what their talent might be, and perhaps matching it with the school's
absolutely
interests.
Yes, absolutely. No, I think you're absolutely right in what you said, yes.
And in your experience, what would you say have been the barriers to ever nurturing talent? You mean, you've mentioned you've got a very strong parenting community here. The parents are very strongly engaged in their children's learning.
Yes.
That must help considerably. What would be the main barriers generally? There must be schools, obviously, where that doesn't happen.
Yes, I mean, I think the biggest barrier I've come across is the uncool to learn, uncool to do well, that it's not the cool thing to do to succeed at school. Yes, it's true, at St. George's we have a little bit of that sometimes, but by and large, the overriding feeling in this school is that it is good to succeed, and most students are swept along with that, and I think most students at the end of the day are grateful for that opportunity. I have been in other schools where that's a much bigger challenge, and my advice really would be just to, you know, try and overcome that and ignore that perception. You know, you're only at school for a short time, part of your life, a few years, and if you can overcome that uncool to learn feeling and do the very best that you can, you really will succeed and make a success of school.
Well, I think that's been great advice. Thank you very, very much for joining us, and all the very best.
You're welcome, and thank you for the opportunity of joining your show.
There we go. Thank you very much to our guest from St. George's School in Harpenden. That was Alistair Clark. Now, Cathy, we've heard a lot of kind of the same information from all three of our guests so far, which is comforting, isn't it?
Exactly.
I mean, they're saying school culture is pivotal, matters a lot. Any sign of boredom, you know,
is it slightly worrying?
I'm sure that isn't across the board. I mean, but it's worth investigating and get to the bottom of it. Find your children's talent yourself. Don't rely wholly on the school to do it. It's a symbiotic relationship. You both need to be working together to find where your child's talent lies. So tune into your children. And when if you spot it before the school spots it, share it in a subtle way. I like the way Valsa said, you know, don't go in and say, my kid's talented.
What are you going to do about it?
She said, just go in and be specific about what exactly it is that you think your child does that other children don't do. And the other thing I'm hearing is that ignore the negative kind of perception of being clever. Nurture it. Don't be shy, because actually, you know, if you don't nurture it, you're going to have a frustrated child who probably will behave
badly. I did like Peter Hamilton's attitude, because he seemed to sort of, and Alistair, he was saying, don't hang up on the label. It's all about a love of learning. And I think Valsa reiterated that it's about intellectual curiosity. It's a great thing. And finding a culture that supports your child's interest and acquisitiveness is key. Would you agree?
Absolutely, yeah. And while we're on that subject, the producers working on the show Child Genius for Channel 4 are looking for families to come forward to take part in their series, which explores raising gifted children, approaches to education, and what it means to be a high-achieving child in Britain today. The series will also feature competition rounds devised in association with High IQ Society, British Mensa, and other leading children's education experts. They have a live application site that includes 10 brain buster questions for the child to tackle. Go to www.childgenius2014.co.uk, and any interested parents can give them drop them an email on child.genius@walltowall.co.uk, and the application site is www.childgenius2014.co.uk, and they're at, if you want to get them on social media, it's at Child Genius, or on Facebook, it's Child Genius 2014.
And I wanted to flag up some key organisations. There's one called, well, the National Association for Gifted Children. It's been renamed, I think, Potential for Learning, I think. But if you just Google National Association for Gifted Children, if you go to their resources, they have pages and pages of websites that are really, here's an example, one's called Brainy Child. It's a website dedicated to helping you support your child's brain developments between the ages of 0 and 6. They've got lots of websites for specific interests. So if your child is exceptionally gifted in maths, or if they are interested in a particular area. They've even flagged up some brilliant holiday clubs which your children can go to, looking at things like law, or, you know, specific areas that they may be particularly interested in. And they flag up wonderful books that some gifted children have written. So there's so much in that website, and there's plenty for parents to there are resources you can use there. There's a community of parents, so you're not perhaps feeling isolated, and you know that you can share your stories with other parents. So that's the National Association for Gifted Children, who incidentally refer to gifted children as children with high learning potential. And I think that's a lovely phrase, Lydia.
It is. I think the label gifted and talented isn't very popular at the moment.
No.
And it seems less stigmatized. I don't know. I think it's a better label for sure.
I have to say, one of my favorite aspects of the website are the online opportunities. So they've got, like, listen to this, it's absolutely brilliant. They've got brainexperiment.org, a website with games that give the brain a workout in core cognitive functions such as memory, visual, spatial reasoning, reaction, focus and more. They've got wemakestories.com, a unique suite of digital tools for children to create, print and share their own stories. Grid Club, an online educational website with over 500 activities linked to the curriculum. It's just endless. There are even universities offering courses for children online. Just go to that umbrella organisation, you'll get all the information you need.
And we're posting all these websites up on Facebook as we speak. So have a little look there and comment. Feel free to join in the discussion on Facebook or by phone, 0177 839 926. And you're listening to The Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM.
92.6 FM.
And welcome back to The Parents Show. Now, we promised you a great, great sportsman earlier in the show, and we're going to be joined now by James Ball. Hopefully he's on the line. Hi, James.
Hi, Cathy.
Like, James, you are exceptional because you rode for Cambridge University twice.
Yes, a few years ago now, I have to admit, but yes, that's right.
So we're focusing tonight on The Parent Show about how nurture in young people and children is sort of you know, nurtured by teachers or coaches, or what we can do as parents to sort of facilitate our children's growth in a particular area. Would you mind telling us a little bit, giving us some insight into how you actually reached that point in your rowing career? And, you know, who helped you? Did you have a great attitude? Was it someone at school? Was it your coach? Was it, who was it? What happened?
It's a great question, and I think it's probably a multifaceted answer. Certainly for me, my parents, and I think probably for any sportsman, my parents played a huge role in me getting into rowing and becoming successful at rowing. Starting off at a very young age of just getting me used to doing sport regularly. Before I was 12 or 13, I wasn't particularly good at sport, but I did an awful lot of it, and my parents just made it normal for me to be doing sport most days. And then when I stumbled into rowing, I changed schools and my new school rowed, and I tried it out. It was a new sport. I thought it was worth a go. And my parents were very, very careful, so they tell me. I didn't really notice at the time, to be honest, but they were very careful not to be too pushy, and just to let me settle into it and see how it went. And then as I showed some natural aptitude for it, again, they were very careful not to push, and just to let me find my own way. And of course, when a child does find something they excel at, I think they automatically enjoy it. You can't help but enjoy something which you're good at. And so then it became self-fulfilling. So the more I did it, the more I enjoyed it because I was doing well at it. And I think having set that foundation, I can then point to a couple of coaches through my early years who were hugely influential. They became very challenging. I think a coach for an athlete at a top level is almost a father figure or a mother figure. All my rowing coaches were male, I have to admit. But they do become an important figure that pushes and challenges you, and that you fear to some extent. But really, it was just that for me. It kept, I kept succeeding at it, and that sort of fed my interest. And I think really it was the fact that I was allowed to find my own interest in the sport, having been set a habit of doing sports on a regular basis, that enabled me to ultimately go on and do the boat race.
I think that's a fantastic tip for parents, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a common thread this evening, actually. We were talking earlier on to the head teacher of HABS, Peter Hamilton, and he actually used the word overbearing parents. He said it's good for parents to be interested, but not overbearing. And that's it's a fine line, isn't it, between being supportive and actually just going too far and pestering your kids into doing stuff. So that's a great message for us parents. And I love what you said, James. You can't help enjoying something that you're good at. I mean, that's the bottom line, isn't it? It's finding what your kid's good at and supporting them.
Yes, and it's not as easy as it sounds. I mean, I think I can be the worst pushy parent now. With unrealistic expectations sometimes of what my own children at the age of 6 and 8 are going to achieve. And I have to sort of remind myself that actually I showed very little interest and aptitude for sport until much later. And it is about trying to find the thing that they do excel at. And it might not be sport. It might be for my own children. It might be something completely different that that isn't my strong point. And I think we're always looking for, I think parents naturally are always looking for that thing their child can excel at. And it is difficult not to be pushy. It is difficult not to put your values, I think, as an adult, onto them as children. But they can find their thing quite late in life. You hear of elite, even ball sports, where they typically we think of the skills being built at a much younger age. But you hear of people who take up rugby in their late teens and go on to become professional rugby players. It happens, and not everybody will be a superstar at the age of 5 or 6.
And I think it's really heartening to hear that your child doesn't have to be massively excited aged 5 to become a superstar like you were in your particular sport. Before we let you go, James, I'm absolutely dying to know, because I attended the boat race so many times and loved watching you guys, you know, do your stuff. What is it like to win it?
Well, it's very good. I didn't see it from the other side, fortunately. So I won it both the years I did it. And it really is the one race of your year. So it's a huge, huge pressure and a huge focus on that one day. And it's a combination of relief that you haven't messed it up, and then just, you know, just extremely, for me, it was a huge release. I hate watching the video now.
Fantastic. We'll have to stick it up on Facebook. Thank you so much for joining us, and well done. All the very best.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Thanks, James.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parent Show. The friendly team at Neave's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit neavesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.